The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
I don't know why I'm thinking of this song on Rock and Roll Friday on the Savage Nation. I actually do because my roof was leaking. And I had my old roofer up today. We reminisced about the house and dogs getting older and getting sick. And we almost slipped on the roof because it's a flat roof with ice. Imagine we have ice here in San Francisco. And it's warm in New York. That's that Dawn Global Cooling or Warming or something. I think it's called weather. It's a word that has been dropped from Obama's vocabulary. The progressive left never heard the word weather. But actually, weather is what explains the divergence of temperatures around the world, boys and girls. I know you didn't learn that at UC Berkeley, but it's actually called weather. And whether you believe me or not, the phone number here is 855-400-7282, 855-400-SAVAGE. It is open mic to Mike Friday. There are some amazing stories that no one can make heads or tails out of. The headline today that caught me most off guard was, Obama fires head of D.C. National Guard fundamentally to strip Trump of protection from leftist mobs. I looked at the story on the Drudge Report. It's in the Washington Post. And something made no sense to me. The head of the D.C. National Guard, Major General Errol R. Schwartz, said Friday that he has been ordered removed from his command effective January 20th, 12:01 p.m., just as Donald Trump is sworn in as president. I said, wait a minute, this is crazy. This guy is in charge of all the security in the area, in the inauguration. He's been planning alongside D.C. police, the U.S. Secret Service, and other district officials. And he's been ordered to turn over command to an interim as power transfers from one president to the next just before the inaugural parade. And Major General Schwartz, who is an African-American, by the way, a distinguished gentleman, by the way, said the timing is extremely unusual, he said this morning. The memo came to him out of nowhere. Not only would Schwartz have commanded the members of the D.C. Guard, but also an additional 5,000 unarmed troops sent in from across the nation to help. He would also oversee military air support protecting the nation's capital during the inauguration. Why would Obama have done this? Why would they have him gone just before the vermin of the left and the armies of the night descend upon Washington, D.C. to disrupt the inauguration? Is it Obama's doing? There's a mixed answer coming to us. I've tried to research this because no one has an answer to it. No one can answer it. Because right now, on Inauguration Day, it's going to be very complicated for the D.C. National Guard to be called up. Since the district is not a state, its mayor cannot call up the guard to active duty as a state governor can't. The district would have to send a letter to the Secretary of the Army requesting the support. The district and the Army would then have to go through a seven-step process to initiate the deployment. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? What do you think this is about, as I'm asking? I don't think you have an answer to this. This man, Lieutenant General Schwartz, has a distinguished career since 1976. By the way, he also oversees the Air National Guard, which combined with the Army Guard has an authorized strength of 2,700 men. He's commanded the 372nd Military Police Battalion. He's a brilliant man. He graduated in 1980 from the University of District of Columbia with a degree in electrical engineering, not a degree in ethnic studies, not a degree in women's studies, not a degree in cross-gender studies, but an actual degree in electrical engineering. Then he earned a master's degree in business management from Central Michigan and the national security strategy from the National Defense University in Fort McNair, Washington. He's an amazing man. Who fired him? No one has an answer. The story is, Obama fires head of D.C. National Guard to strip Trump of protection from leftist mobs. That's what it looks like to me. Now, we have had producers contact the Trump transition team to see if they gave the order because they want to put their own person in. No answer. The Obama administration will not answer the question. Okay, my friends, We don't know whether this is more of the dirty tricks that Obama is famous for, or if it's an actual normal transitional transaction. We just don't know. Also today on the Savage Nation, Chapter 8, Trump's War to Restore Real Science. I'm not going to read you the chapter. I'm going to read you excerpts from the chapter that I wrote for my forthcoming book, Trump's War, because the top of every chapter has Savage Solutions. I put a box on the top of every chapter so that when you flip through the book, you have three or four solutions to the problem that you can immediately get, sort of the Savage Cliff Notes. So chapter 8 is Trump's War to Restore Real Science. And believe me, I know what I am talking about. One of my solutions in Trump's War for Real Science to be restored is restore real science at the NIH, CDC, and FDA. Fund research by global warming skeptics. Right now, they get no research funding. Promote conservative conservationism over progressive environmentalism. That's a huge statement that will take some thinking to figure out. Exercise caution and care in repealing environmental regulations. My fear is that the Trump administration will go overboard and throw away all of the environmental regulations instead of those that are most egregious. As you well know, I am an animal rights protectionist. I did a whole show on protecting the whales. It was a heartbreaking show when you think about it. And my fear is that some Neanderthals could come along and strip away all the environmental protections that are so necessary in the world in which we live today. We've all learned that we're no longer alone on this planet. We all know that we are part of a gigantic ecosystem. We all know that if you spray the earth with DDT, as was done without any thought whatsoever, and the DDT gets into the soil and then into the water, and then the birds peck away at insects in that soil or water, and then the DDT enters the bird's system, and they can't hatch eggs, then the eagle starts to die. And as I said, we are the eagle. It's a very profound statement. We are the eagle. And I hope you understand the difference between Michael Savage, conservative, conservationist, and progressive environmentalists. You see, I believe in conservation. The progressives use environmentalism to advance the Marxist agenda. That's the difference between what I am telling you. So the fact of the matter is, we have real problems on our hands, and we on the conservative side should own the environment. As I write in Trump's War, and you really have to buy this book in order to understand where we're going under the Trump administration and how to steer them in the right direction. Because to be frank with you right now, there's a lot of confusion coming out of the Trump camp. He says one thing, and then during the appointment hearings, General Mattis says another. Then Mr. Pompeo says another. The next day, Trump has to backtrack and say, I admire my appointees because they're independent-minded. Sorry, that's not good enough for me. We didn't elect Pompeo. We didn't elect Mattis. We elected Donald Trump because of his forceful positions. If he's going to take the position, oh, well, all of my appointees are independent-minded, and I appreciate that, that means he can appoint anyone in charge of border security who decides, well, we don't need a border. Or what's he going to say? Well, okay, he's an independent-minded person. We don't need a border. That's not what we elected him for. That's why I wrote Trump's War. Do you understand where I'm coming from, finally? Why the book is so important? The battle for America? We actually have a bigger battle on our hands now than we did getting rid of Hillary Clinton off the ticket. You understand that? Because while we elected Donald Trump, unfortunately, he's being steered to the left by many other factors. And he needs us right now to remind him that we're still here. He has to overcome the progressive ideologues that were whispering in his ears. He has to overcome the neoconservative ventriloquists who are whispering in his ear, the connected corporate interests, the military-industrial complex bent on permanent war. And that's why Trump's War is the most important book of 2017. That's it. That's the whole story. And you can't buy it. You can only order it in advance on Amazon, and I need you to do it. Why? I'll tell you again why. Because if we make waves and move the book up to number one before publication, people will pay attention to it. Nobody will have me on their television show. Nobody will cover Michael Savage, and yet I have a huge audience, okay? All right, so that's some of the things I'm talking about. We're going to do Rock and Roll Friday. I don't want to overwhelm you. I don't want to exhaust you. I want to have fun today on Rock and Roll Friday. I don't have fun. I'm not a fun guy. In fact, I never have fun. You have any fun? What's fun? That's a 60s thing. Professors used to say, have fun. Choose a profession that's fun. There are no professions that are fun. Unless you're an infomaniac and become a hooker. There are no professions that are fun. It's that simple. I don't mean to offend anybody, Jim. I hope that wasn't offensive to families listening. But what is fun about work? Work is the opposite of fun. I mean, fun could be skiing. Fun could be golfing. Fun could be tennis. I don't play tennis. I don't golf and I don't ski. All I do is worry and work day and night. And let me tell you something. If worry could kill you, I would have been dead when I was six. I've been worrying since I'm about 5 years old. I don't think worry is that dangerous. I think trying to avoid worrying will kill you faster than than worrying itself. I really mean that. I remember years ago in the 70s when I was having very bad insomnia because of the social engineers who were blocking me from positions that I had applied for, which I was highly qualified for. They only wanted unqualified individuals to take these jobs. I had young children. I couldn't make a living in the area I wanted to work in, and even though I killed myself to get the right degrees, I couldn't sleep at night. And I remember reading a self-help book. I forget which one it was, but it said more people have died from worrying about not sleeping than actually not sleeping. So they said, when you're up, why don't you do the following? Like, look at the stars, get a star book, walk around the block, write a letter. It was amazing what you could do in the middle of the night. And then, of course, that plus herbal tea, mainly passion flower herbal tea, and I got over my insomnia. But it's the same thing with worrying. Worrying per se is not harmful. It's worrying that you're worrying that can be harmful. In other words, then you start saying to me, oh, I'm worrying all the time, that which we now call anxiety. You have to understand anxiety is part of living. And the shrinks have made you think that anxiety is an abnormal event in your life. Now, I don't mean killing anxiety. That's different. But a slow degree of electrical current of worry is very healthy for you. It'll motivate you to get off your behind and go run around the block or do this or do that. It's a motivational force. So I guess I'm drifting into self-help now and being a life coach. That's what they call that today. Life coach. The country is now filled with frauds who have no credentials whatsoever in anything. And they're making fortunes as life coaches. How does this work? I don't understand. But when you consider that psychiatry, per se, sometimes doesn't work or often doesn't work. Look at what it's done for Woody Allen after 70 years of daily therapy. It hasn't helped him at all. So, I mean, what's the difference if you have 8 MDs and PhDs and can't help anyone? Or if you have no degrees and you can help someone, you see? This is the Savage Nation. It's Friday. It's open mic to Mike Friday. Any topic is fair game. We have great sound, great music, great stories, and great me. I'll be right back. Be here or be nowhere.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Take off our dunce caps of worry. Sitting in the hot seat of the Savage Nation. Believe me, if I didn't like it, I wouldn't do it. 22 years, you do something, you know what I'm saying? This is when I'm happy. Most of the time, I'm happy here. 21 hours a day, I'm miserable. But three hours a day, I fly like an eagle. 21 hours a day, it's a nightmare for me. Being human is very hard. I mean, really, it is. Just think of any animal on Earth in the wild. You think they're having fun? That's what life really is like for us, but we don't know. We try to pretend it isn't. Here's the thing. See, I love to study animals. I'm an ethologist at heart. I've always been an ethologist. And you watch animal life, whether it be gorillas protecting their young or a male gorilla trying to seek dominance with other male gorillas and eventually being knocked off his perch and he has to run away or die, right? Or you watch chimpanzees feeding alongside impalas on the savannah in Africa, and they normally are cooperative with each other, both listening for predators together, and then all of a sudden there's a scream, and one of the chimps goes ape and kills one of the impalas out of nowhere, and the impalas realize that they were being set up. The chimp was untrustworthy. That's much like life in the human world that we live in. But we try to bury that under the veneers of civility that we have developed over millennia. And okay, so that's how we get through life. But underneath it all, life is a struggle and life is vicious, and people will cut you to ribbons if you give them the chance. And I don't mean in the streets necessarily with a knife in your back or a box cutter on Broadway in Manhattan. I am talking about business. And even down to the merest level of the social world we live in, it's translated down to the social world with that, that we live in. This the sense of the predatory and the victim, right? The predator and prey. So we all feel that, and unfortunately, there are people who feel it more intensely than others. And if you allow that into your consciousness, let us say too acutely, you become very, very nervous. You become very, very anxious, and you can become mentally ill. And so you can laugh at mentally ill people. You can say schizophrenics are to be discarded by society. But, you know, the schizophrenic is just sort of a hairbreadth away from any one of us. In many cases, they're just more tuned in to what is real. Did you hear what I just said? And so this is the conundrum from all of us, and Freud wrote about it in Civilization and His Discontents. Now, I don't know what this has to do with Donald Trump or Barack Obama. Probably nothing. But it has to do with nothing, which is why I'm talking about it today on Open Mic to Mike Friday.
Radio.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
I don't know, where'd the callers just go? We had like 12, now we're down to 4. The lines dropped. Because the minute I said schizophrenics, we're only a hairbreadth away from schizophrenic being schizophrenic ourselves, people got scared and hung up. They want to go to a show that makes them feel that they're better than everybody else, that they're superior to everybody else, that they're smarter than everybody else, that they don't need Viagra, they don't need anything, they're just born perfectly. Unfortunately for you, I don't see the world that way. I have in my hands a picture that fell out of a folder from 1960-something. And it's a picture of the American dream family. There's the man, there's the wife. They're outside a small Cape Cod cottage. It looks like in Levittown, New York. The father's wearing actually pants with a belt. The mother's actually wearing a dress. I know, it's crazy, isn't it? How crazy is that? You could tell it's a mother. She's wearing a dress. And you could tell it's a father. He's got pants. There's a little Ford, a 1953 Ford. I can tell by the model. It's a two-door. There's a little boy in a toy car, a champion car, a toy car. And then there's a little girl. Could you believe she's wearing a dress and she has little white socks and beautiful little black shoes? And there's a lawn. Can you believe that? So this was the American dream. And you know something? You want to hear a little secret? It still is the American dream for most people. What do you think most of the Mexicans who come here want? I said most of them want. This is what they want. They work to get this. I know it for a fact. They put their money together and they buy a house. Then they try to buy a rental property. I know it for a fact. So it's very easy to categorize people one way or the other, but it's very hard to know reality unless you actually walk the streets of reality, which I try to do. Nothing to do with anything. It's Open Mic to Mike Friday. Steve on KSFO. Line 6, what's on your mind? Nothing. Dead in the water. So there
hey,
we
Michael,
are. First,
how you doing?
Yeah, go ahead, please.
Hey, just had a couple comments. Earlier you mentioned that there's no fun in work and that you don't have fun. And I just wanted to comment. I can tell you have fun. You went on your talk about how you know, people worry too much and worry doesn't kill you and worrying about how much you worry will kill you, and then out came a chuckle. So I can just tell you enjoy what you do and you have fun even though you don't know it. You're a
all right. Well, thanks, doctor. I appreciate that. Where can I send you your payment for the analysis? Thanks for the. I do okay. Look, here's the thing about radio and me. I prepare. I have all these stories. I'm ready to go. It's like loading ammunition into a rifle. And then I go out onto the field, And before I know it, I'm talking about something that I didn't prepare for. I put the gun down, and then I'll talk about the stars or the trees or the chipmunks. So when I do that, I do enjoy the show. When I get locked into a political story that agitates me, I know what it does to the audience. It moves the audience. I know how to move audiences. I've been gifted with the ability to move crowds since I'm a little boy. Now, I could use that for evil or for good. I've known that as well. That's why I tell you right now, point blank, you know, if you're listening to this show, I have the power to move audiences. Is that correct? Do you have to argue with me over it? If you're listening to me and you say no, it means you're wrong. Of course I have the power to move audiences. How did I survive in radio for 22 years? How do I write one best-selling book after another? How did I motivate people to go vote for Donald Trump? Because I have the power to move audiences. Okay, given. So what does that mean? It's a power like any other power. It can be used for good or for evil, correct? All these years, people have said to me, you know, you could be a guru. You could set up a church. You could set up a this or that. People would follow you. They'd give you their life savings. You could buy a ranch and this and that and have 20 Rolls Royces. And I said, I am not a false god. I am not a false prophet. I'm not one of these guys from the past who would set up these fake foundations and lead you astray. It's why I've pointedly avoided doing it. So I don't even know why I'm telling you all this. What I'm saying to you is I enjoy not doing that. Maybe my enjoyment is not using the power in a negative way. That's what I'm saying. You want to talk about this or not? 855-407-282. Here's a great call. Joe on WABC, line 2. I want to answer this question. That's why I'm taking it. Joe, make your point, please.
No, and I'm sure millions more would like to know when you're going to write your autobiography about your great life.
I've been thinking about it, and I don't think I can. There are two books out that have my radio stories. One is called Psychological Nudity, and the other is called Train Tracks, which was published a number of years ago. Those, in essence, encapsulate some of the stories of my life. But how can a man write his own autobiography? How is that even possible, Joe?
Well, it's certainly possible with your fertile mind and all you've contributed to our lives. It's possible, very possible. As a matter of fact, I think that you've done so much, you don't know where to begin on paper, and maybe you need a...
You know, Joe, look, I can say thank you for this and, you know, say, and make believe I'm not hearing you and act humble and all, but humble isn't in my vocabulary. I cannot write my own autobiography because it would take forever to do so. How does a man write his own autobiography? He has to stop living his life to write his autobiography, doesn't he?
Well, I thought about that. I have to agree with you on that.
Let me give you an example. I'll give you an example. This is an interesting question. For years, I kept journals. I have years and years of journals from 1969 on. I'm talking about volume after volume after volume of all of my travels and all of my concerns and all of my hopes and dreams in these journals. And then I stop. When I get into radio, I stop writing in these journals. I realized somewhere along the way that my radio show is an open journal. In other words, okay, when I'm talking about politics, it's not a journal. But when I suddenly veer into my life of the day or what I'm thinking or what I'm doing or this and that, isn't that sort of a autobiographical audio journal?
Yes, it's true, and we've lived it with you over the years. However, I'd love to see it in print. And
Joe, this is an important call for me. I don't think I'll soon forget it. Because how am I going to write about the years as a kid, then the years as a teenager, then the years as a 20-something, then the years of dreaming and collecting plants in the South Pacific thinking I would save the world if I could find a cure? And then I found out years later I was really looking to cure my brother who had already been dead. And, you know, it was a psychological drive that put me there. That was a whole career. My career as a plant collector was a full career that finished unto itself volumes. I have a 700-page manuscript about those years. Would you believe it? It's up in one of my rooms. I only found it about 6 weeks ago. A whole 700-page manuscript about my search for healing plants. I never published it. That's sort of an autobiography, a whole piece of that. That unto itself is a piece of the autobiography. Now, then we get into the years that I had the heartbreak of not being hired because I was a white male. What's I going to write about that? No. Then all of a sudden I get into radio, 1994. What a run this has been. Look at the year we're in, 2017. How long can this go on, 94 to 2017? How many different incarnations and careers can a person have and then write about them, Joe? That's the question.
Well, in your case, because you're so unique, you could have sequels.
Joe, I don't know whether I'll ever do that. I'm going to have to maybe leave that up to someone else, and I would never cooperate with them anyway. So, Joe, I'm going to send you a copy of Trump's War the minute it's out. You're a very nice man. I don't know if the general audience is interested in any of this. You know, but the minute a man starts to talk about writing an autobiography, he's already got one foot in the grave. And I don't really want to start thinking like that, because then I'm going to think of myself as the silverback gorilla that's laid down in the bushes and is ready to die. I'm not ready to lay down in the bush yet. I still want to be the silverback gorilla that I am and do what I do in the jungle in which I work. How's that? I'm not ready to lay down yet and just eat some bananas and fall asleep. I don't know how we got into this. Look at all of the political calls we have. My God, how depressing. People think probably I'm going to get them depressed. But let's go, Joe, on ABC. That's a great call. I have to think about it. Now I get a long weekend now to think about that. Let's see. You got the calls on the D.C. National Guard. Mark on KSFO. Okay, we figured that. He said, look, when I said earlier that we're all just a hair breadth away from being mentally ill or a schizophrenic, you know it happens to be true. Just look at who's running the country. Look at the politicians. Look at the people in Hollywood who are at the top of the pyramid. You're telling me they're not mentally ill? They can be creative geniuses, but they're a hairbreadth in and out of being crazy. The minute I talked about that, I knew I was going to turn this into Crazy Friday. Remember once I did a show, Only Crazy Callers Please Call? It was a great show. I didn't ridicule anybody. It was a very interesting show. Well, here we have one now. Mark on KSFO, go ahead, please.
How you doing, Michael? Listen, you're not going to agree with this, but what a lot of people don't understand is we need a full-blown communist revolution in this country in order to stop the greed from the wealthy people and to help the poor. Look, you have the poorest people in this
country. All right, well, hold on. Let's take one statement at a time. So to stop the greed of the wealthy people and help the poor, where would the money come from if the wealthy people would stop producing?
Again, with a communist country, everybody would work together, and...
Where has that worked like that? Tell me which country it's worked out like that. Has it worked in Venezuela?
I understand that there needs to be changes.
No, well, let's take reality. You're reading a textbook story about communism. So let's look at the reality of today. We had a wonderful country in South America who called Argentina. And then the communists took it over under Chavez, the criminal dictator, remember? Where is it today? The people are starving to death. Do you understand what happened?
Right, because you have these crazy, you know, dictators in there. Look, what
no, you keep going back to changing the subject. That's a communist nation. Communist nations produce starvation. They always have, Mark.
Look, what I'll say is it's a shame that Sanders didn't get in, because that would have been a start. You know, communism starts with socialism.
No, of course. Sanders is a phony. You actually believe that crooked, crazy Seltzer man believes a word he says?
I mean, compared to Trump, yeah. I mean,
Are you joking? See, again, you just want to pull my chain, and I'm not going to get angry today. It's Friday. I'm glad that I have an actual communist listening to the show. It's a pleasure for me. Okay, so let's take another step. Has communism worked, let's say, in North Korea? That's pure communism, isn't it?
Again, you have a dictator in North Korea.
So show me where, when you elect communism, when you put communism in, that dictatorships don't arise. Give me an example.
Look, as I said before, I understand.
You keep going to look. Every time you can't answer a question, you say look. I think if you took your academic view of communism and put it aside and looked at the practical realities of communism, you'd have to agree with me that in every case where the people lose the power over the government, dictatorships arise.
I suppose, but we're not going
to... Okay, well, oh my God, a communist actually agreed for 1 second with me. Are you a man who's been disappointed in life that you didn't get what you thought you should have, Mark?
You know, there's been times, yeah, but...
What, when you were young, in your 20s, what did you dream of achieving?
Oh, in my 20s, I wanted to, I always wanted to join the military, I'll tell you that, but that changed.
So what did you become?
I currently own, I have a very small business where I fix electronics, cell phones. I run a various out of malls and things like that.
Okay, wait a minute, hold on. So you sell services and you get paid for that service, correct?
That's correct.
Do you want the government telling you how many clocks you can fix per year and how much you can charge?
Here's the thing. I have my...
No, here's the thing. That's what goes on in Cuba right now under your friends, the Castro dictators. You understand that the people are suffering in Cuba. You do know that. And the only freedom they've had in the last few years is when they opened up the market, even a slight bit, to free market capitalism. The people were dying for it. So you have to understand, Mark, that your freedom to fix as many clocks or computers or iPhones as you want would be controlled by a government bureaucrat. You probably would balk at that, wouldn't you? All right, think about it and get back to me. Okay, now you understand why I played the Beatles song. I knew it would lead to something. I'm fixing the roof because the rain comes in. And many of us have holes in our mind, and the rain comes in. And I'm trying to patch your mind right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. So I get a lot of comments now on MichaelSavage.com. They put up a comment section. So I some of them are really great. So a guy writes to me, Michael, you should do a book on what it means to be a man. So many in my generation have lacked a proper alpha male father figure in our lives. I really think you should write a book on this. Well, let me be very clear. When you say be a man, what do you think? You have to be a tough guy to be a man? That's the first thing you should throw away. No. There are different types of men. That's the first thing you should know. And not all men are in the muscle side of the family. That's the second thing you should know. Remember The Godfather? When they captured Tom, the consigliere, and the guy says to him, don't worry, Tom, we know you're not in the muscle side of the family, and if we wanted you dead, you would have been dead already. You have to understand that not all men are warriors, but some men are warriors, and complete in other ways as well. It's not either or. But not all men are made to be warriors physically. They can be warriors spiritually. They can be mental warriors. But what is it to be a man? People want to know that. They don't know what it means. Well, it means different things to different people, but I can summarize it pretty quickly. First of all, if you can take the pain and not go down the drain, then you'll be a man. How's that? How's that for a little poem? Turn it into a doily. Because being a man means bearing the pain of being a man. It's as simple as that. Stop trying to be happy. Stop trying to be a kid. Deal with the problems that you and your family have if you're married or that you have yourself. And don't tell everybody about every little problem you have. That's the first rule of being a man. So if you want more advice from the Silverback, I'll be back in hour two right here on the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, the Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Progressives, when you say get high, that's like the key word. I'm supposed to bash liberals now. You know, it's 2017. That song was big in 67-ish, 50 years. Can you believe it? All you ex-hippies out there, raise your hand. All of you people who've evolved from being hippies in the 60s, who slowly emerged into the political animals that you are today, you could call yourself conservatives, nationalists, but the fact of the matter is people do not understand the social evolution of the current modern conservative. Forget, there's many varieties conservative. What does it mean? What does the word liberal mean? There's a whole spectrum of liberal, the whole spectrum of conservative. But you know what I'm talking about. Many of the people who love my show identify with me because of my background and my foreground and my current ground and my post-ground. And the fact is, it's 50 years. Can you believe you've been alive that long, those of you listening to the show? Many of you understand where I'm coming from. You were Beatles fans. You went to Woodstock. You smoked pot. You tried acid. You did everything under the sun. And eventually, you put it all aside like child's toys. And you outgrew that era, as you would outgrow a childhood illness, and you became a human being of a different sort. Unfortunately for us, many people got stuck in the worst part of the 60s. I didn't mean to talk about this today, but I'm going to talk about it because there's a lot of interconnections to the politics of the day. So just bear with me for a minute. For example, the mores of the 60s, were they all bad? No. I will tell you, had I not lived through the hippie life, the moderate sort of hippie life, I never became full-blown. I didn't move to a commune. I always worked. I always had a job. I always paid the rent. I always bathed, because I remember the adage, cleanliness is the next thing to godliness. That was always true. And the hippies who didn't bathe, well, forget about it. They were really the mentally ill ones. You know, that's still true to this day. Hygiene is probably the first thing to go in a mentally ill person. All right, but put that aside. So what did the 60s bring to America? Everyone puts it down or puts it up. In other words, you put it up if you're in Hollywood like it was the golden era of America. Or if you're a conservative, you put down the 60s and say it was horrible. Everyone's a degenerate, you know, drug addict. But what the 60s meant for me was the ability to go on the road in my own mind, for example, and to explore inner space. Something I never would have done had I, let's say, stayed on the pathway of my, let's say it was laid out for me and my family. And I'm not knocking them. They're great people. They're all wonderful people. But most of them stayed where the grandfather landed. He came from Russia. He landed in New York, and almost none of them moved away from New York. To this day, they still live there. You know what I'm saying? And they have the same mentality of that era. I was always very different, even as a child. So naturally, I gravitated to a different way of life. And as a result of it, I read things that they never heard of. And one of the key books that changed my life was Jack Kerouac's great book, On the Road. And then, of course, Dharma Bums brought me to Marin County. You got to understand where I'm coming from on that one. The idea that someone could live in a place where deer come down and feed on their back lawn. Of course, that goes on in New Jersey. It goes on in Long Island. But, I mean, I never saw it when I was a kid in Manhattan or Queens. I never saw deer. Okay? All right. But the point is I went on the road. And as a result of going on the road, I wound up in very odd places on Earth, collecting plants. What boy of my background eschews making a fortune and goes and lives in Fiji, Tonga, Samoa, the Marquesas, collecting medicinal plants? What kind of mishugana does a thing like that? People would ask me that over and over again. What are you doing? Why are you wasting your time? You have a family. What do you mean collecting plants? Why aren't you making a living? Blah, blah, blah. So I got that. I understood it. But it's not my calling. That was my calling at that time. So then, as life goes on, you start to learn from Life 101 what life really is. And you play it straight. You keep your nose clean. You go and you get your degrees from real universities. You do a great dissertation, really great dissertation, really published in a real journal, really published in a great journal, turned into a book, and you figure, okay, the world will be mine. I did it the right way. And then you find out that the world changed under your feet. You find out that the radical left has taken over all the social apparatus of the nation, and they were denying white males their right place in society, edging them out wherever they could. And then you become hardened, and you become a different person. And you become a person that's more realistic about life, and you realize that it's more of a jungle than it is a nursery school. And that leads us to where we are today in the election of Trump, I think. So on MichaelSavage.com, people write things. So here's one a woman writes called Hard Truths, and I assume she's an Orthodox religious person. And she writes this to the Savage Nation. I'm reading it to you. Women's liberation has destroyed the women's instinct to be mothers, and if women do not push back, they will destroy civilization. It's okay that some women choose not to be dedicated mothers, but if the majority work outside the home, we go to hell. Look at what Orthodox Jews, the men and women who keep Judaism alive, do. Do not look at Jewish liberals. All right, the next one. Dear Dr. Savage, facilitating the use of pot is another liberal strategy for the desire for immediate gratification of humans to destroy the West. And that is what the so-called sexual revolution is about. Self-repression and postponement and control of gratification is necessary to build and sustain civilization. Orthodox Jews who sustain Judaism, not liberal Jews, self-repress. So did the Protestants who built the U.S. Sadly, too many Protestants, Catholics, Jews, agnostics have become liberals. Trump is the first of many many-pronged effort necessary to right the English-speaking world and Northern European world ships. If they do not succeed, the whole world will fall into Middle Age darkness, and the new Renaissance will not happen at the hands of China or even India. She writes this. China has the energy but lacks the temperament. India has the temperament but lacks the energy. Russia lacks the temperament and the size. Southern Europe is only about food, fun, and sun, and forget the rest of the world. I think that's pretty good. That's why I'm reading it to you, or else I wouldn't read it to you just to fill up airspace. And I guess we can now join the conversation on the issue of repression, self-repression, sexual repression, repressing gratification, instant gratification as opposed to controlling gratification. And if you want to, I don't call about it, you can do that. But I'd like to take your calls right now. Kevin on KSFO, line two, go ahead, please.
Mike, during times I've been listening to you over the years, you've always mentioned how you interacted with so many people here in America who came from all over the world. And a lot of these individuals, Americans like myself, who have come here and embraced everything great of America, and acclimatize ourselves, for a better choice of words.
Kevin, are you from Grenada or the Caribbean?
We spoke already, yes. I'm from the Caribbean, yes, sir.
And well, I was just trying to pick up the accent. I don't remember the call, but I try to pick it up. Great, beautiful. So what's your point?
Well, I think for the next book, if you could maybe speak about these Americans that we don't hear about a lot, who have come here and really contributed and, you know, have some impact in your life. You've mentioned...
Absolutely. Well, it's certainly different. Not every group that comes here contributes in the same way, or some don't contribute at all. There are cultural differences as far as contribution goes. I knew even as a child, talking about your people, the Caribbean people, and I'm talking about Africans, Caribbean Africans. Am I specific enough?
Well, I'm a mulatto, so to speak.
Well, that's okay, whatever. What you get what I'm saying, the Afro-Caribbean person, let's put it to you that way. I knew even as a boy in Queens, New York, that there was a parallel community of black people from the Caribbean who were as hardworking as my people were, who worked the same way, and strangely enough, they even had retirement communities adjacent to the retirement communities that my people had. Would you believe that in Florida? Can you believe that, Kevin?
Yeah, I would.
I mean, so, you know, in other words, there are communities or cultures or ethnicities that have parallel paths in America, in the assimilation. And then there are others who come here and live off the wealth of the land. They suck the milk and honey without providing anything. Or worse yet, they cause harm to the nation, which is what we've seen occur under Obama over the last 8 years, with the mass influx of people from a religious background that is so fanatical it can never, ever adjust to this nation, nor will it ever want to adjust to this nation's mores. All it will want to do is convert those of us who refuse to go down that hellhole into their world. Am I right about that, Kevin?
Oh, absolutely. Here in the crumbling empire state of New York, under Schumer and Caesar Cuomo, you know, you're bringing in people who, from the cradle to the grave, only knew to rely on the government. Some of them don't even know what a light bulb switch, you know. And
in other words, they need a government worker to turn the lights off for them.
Yeah, exactly. And but maybe with the idea of a book, you know, I'll just throw out something to you and speak about those individuals you've met and maybe had some influence in how you know.
All right, that's an interesting thought. It's a beautiful one, and I thank you. But I'm never going to write an autobiography, never, because I'm not ready to. I'm not doing it. All right, we can get back to the political issues at hand. So let me do this for you, who are real political. I know many of you get nervous if we get too philosophical from the point of view of just talking about life itself. I happen to love talking about life as it is, and life as it should be, and life as it was. In other words, day-to-day philosophy of life. But the politics of the day is what intrigues most people who listen to talk radio. One of the big stories is that Loretta Lynch, the attorney general, who if you can believe, is worse than the man she followed. She's far more radical. She's far more deadly. She's far more dangerous. She was advised to become the attorney general by none other than the street rat Al Sharpton. The president was lobbied by Al Sharpton to put this woman in as attorney general. And although she talks softly, she's extremely dangerous. She did something yesterday that's beyond comprehension. She has put the entire Chicago police force under some kind of oversight by some crackpot lawyer from the federal government, saying that the Chicago Police Department engages in excessive force and violates the Fourth Amendment rights of minorities. Now, how can a sane person say that when the murder rate in Chicago is the highest in the world, precisely because the police have been intimidated from doing their job? That does not stop this maniac, who you must listen to in clip number one.
Our investigators have worked tirelessly to obtain a full and an accurate and an impartial picture of policing in Chicago. They have conducted hundreds of interviews with citizens, with officials, with officers. They have reviewed thousands of pages of documents. They have observed Chicago Police Department officers on the job. And on the basis of this exhaustive review, the Department of Justice has concluded that there is reasonable cause to believe that the Chicago Police Department engages in a pattern or practice of use of excessive force in violation of the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution. Our investigation found that this pattern of practice is in no small part the result of severely deficient training procedures and accountability systems.
Now, this woman should be investigated the minute Trump becomes president for crimes against America. Here is one of the most radical positions you could ever take in the most insane way. She's saying that the crime rate in Chicago, where murder is out of control, is a result of the police. Well, the exact opposite is the truth. And yet, why would she do this on January 13th in the year of 2017, just before Trump comes in? Why would she further hamstring the Chicago Police Department? Why would she talk about excessive force when it's a lack of force completely that is the reason that the gangs are out of control? Answer, because she was appointed by the Obama gang. She's part of the sorority I've been warning you about. And all I can say is good riddance to her, and I hope that when Trump becomes president, and more particularly when Jeff Sessions is sworn in as Attorney General, he immediately lifts all of these restrictions on not only Chicago's PD, but the SFPD and every other police department in the country that has been hamstrung by the most radical, socialistic administration you could ever imagine. This is the Savage Nation. Be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. I love the psychedelic paintings of that era. I knew some of the artists. They were just brilliant. I don't know where they are today. I don't know if they survived the 60s. But nevertheless, here we are, and we're living through the end of days of a hippie administration that has put in practice all of the rubbish that was bandied about in the 60s without any thought whatsoever. And despite the reality of what's on the ground, they keep repeating the homilies that they came up with in the 60s, for like Loretta Lynch saying the Chicago Police Department engages in excessive force, violates the Fourth Amendment, so they're putting in a federal observer like they did in San Francisco and elsewhere. The exact opposite of reality. So you ask yourself, how could crazy people run a country? Well, you just had 8 years of crazy people running the country. You understand what I'm saying to you? Jonathan, WABC, fire away. Make your point.
Well, it doesn't seem so crazy if you take over the Chicago Police Department and put it under federal oversight. What comes with that but federal monies? Who's the mayor of Chicago? Rahm Emanuel. So you got federal money flowing in. You hamstring the police department. You can do whatever you want on the ground.
So if you can take over the Chicago Police Department and federalize it, you can then do it to other cities in the country. This is a power grab by the psychos going out the door. They're trying to get rid of all local police departments and turn them into one gigantic federal police force of the type of corruption you have in Mexico and other third world banana republics. That's it in a nutshell, isn't it, Jonathan?
Well, isn't that what Obama said 8 years ago, that we need a federal police force?
Yeah, right. Well, he's out the door. They kicked him out the door. Thank God for term limits. The bum will be gone in only a week, for God's sakes. Now, we have to understand, we have a polar opposite of Obama in the executive branch in many ways. That's Donald Trump. We have people coming into very high positions who are the opposite of the so-called progressive Obama appointed. Now, for the most part, that's a good thing. And I talk about it in Trump's war. But the bad news is the policies we've been suffering under for the past 8 years need to do a complete 180. Unfortunately, some of the appointees are not going to do a 180. We'll be lucky if they do a 90-degree turn. That's what my book is about. Period.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
Peggy Sue is, but I know this is the Savage Nation. It's already hour two is almost over. I don't believe how fast today is going. It's always freaky for me on Friday. It's Freaky Friday because the show flies by, and then it's this black hole of Saturday and Sunday and until I'm back on the air Monday. It's the reverse of most people. They look forward to the weekend. I don't. To me, it's a horror show of emptiness. It's the void. When I'm on the air, I have a palette. I have the paint. I have the brushes, and I'm painting, verbally painting for hours. Then all of a sudden, it's zero. All right, protesters vow to blockade D.C. during the inauguration and party in front of the Pence home. Really? Do they? Well, here's a good piece of news for them. Bikers for Trump ready to stand up to protesters. I hope they... I can't say it on a family show. My only hope is that the bikers are unleashed on them and put them in the place where they belong, which is in a cage. In fact, I think that there'd be a good argument to move the animals from the Washington, D.C. zoo ahead of the inauguration and move them to some humane protective custody during inauguration and put the protesters in the cages. And the number one who should be put in the number one cage would be Michael Moore. Michael Moore should be arrested, by the way, right now for threatening to obstruct the inauguration. He's a domestic terrorist, in my estimation. By saying he's going to shut down the inauguration, he's telling us he has more power than we do. He has more power than the Constitution affords the president himself. He, in other words, is announcing the fact that he is a domestic terrorist. And I want to know why he's not being arrested. The answer is because Obama and he are one and the same. But truthfully, anyone who says they're going to shut down the inauguration is announcing that they're a criminal and they should be arrested in advance. That is not protest. That is not legitimate protest. That is not exercising the First Amendment. That is not exercising anything other than terror. That's using the First Amendment as a weapon against this great society of ours. And I really would like to see them arrested, frankly. KBOI in Idaho. Joe, line four, go ahead, please.
Hey, Savage. Hey, I just wanted to make a quick point about the insensitive truth that we all need to hear. I'm 39 years old, and I think we're all soft. And I think there's some similarities between the way you speak. I've always liked what you say, but I can't say I like you. But I'm starting to like you.
Well, why is it? Joe, it's I say what you think. Is that it?
Exactly. Exactly.
So why didn't you like a guy who's saying what you think? What was there not to like?
I don't think it was comfortable. I think it's your... You know, you're very direct, maybe overly direct.
So it's like, in other words, it's a little too in your face. So my message is lost by my attitude. Is that it?
Exactly. Exactly.
All right. Well, I'll work on attitude adjustment as soon as the show is over tonight. I'm going to work on attitude adjustment tonight, Friday night. I'm actually having dinner with a... Yeah, this is an interesting side story. I'll tell you in a minute where I'm going tonight. It's an amazing story. I can't tell you who, but I'm meeting with one of the top Democrat lawyers in the country who agrees with me, and I agree with him on antitrust legislation. Isn't that interesting? He's a great old line, great liberal lawyer, one of the top in the country, who has the same view I do on busting up big companies like, shall I name them? Facebook, Microsoft, Google, and he's one of the biggest Democrats in the country. He and I share the same exact view on breaking up these giant monopolies. We're having dinner tonight, and I intend to drink a lot of wine. We have a great caller here, Joe on WSB in Pennsylvania. Joe on line 5, thank you for calling. You're a former Chicago gang member. What do you think is causing the violence in Chicago?
The entire East Coast. And I'm actually from South Florida, but we take drives up the I-75, so I feel like I can speak about the Chicago gang situation from the inside out. And I don't want to quiz you on it. I don't want to put you on the spot. If you know about Chicago gangs and the nations and the sets, I'm not going to put you on the spot like that. But I can tell you that from the inside out, it's economics. You need to cut off the drug war. You need to stop the drug war. You need to abolish that and take away the money from the gangs. And I have nothing but love for the people who had to grow up in that kind of hardship. And that was what was economically available at the time, was to be involved in that situation. And
you know what? I got news for you. I know a very, very successful white woman who's not a criminal who said if she was poor and a minority, she'd be a drug dealer. That's the only way she could have made money.
Well, absolutely. We don't have passports. I mean, the drugs come from Afghanistan, Colombia. The guns come from Russia. This is the situation we were born in. That's where the money was at. There's a black market. We're fulfilling a market need. We're fulfilling a need for the, and it's sad. It's sad that people are addicted to these things, but that's where the money was at. If you want to stop.
So why do you think that the Obama administration is attacking the Chicago Police Department? Why do you think she's attacking the Chicago PD?
No, I mean, you're talking about status. I mean, that's all they care about. This is just a power grab amongst goons. But it's one gang versus another, and then you have the street gangs at the bottom that get the short end of the stick. At the end of the day, people are being exploited, and you're not giving people opportunities to like make honest livings. Even the money is crooked. I mean, the money is all big.
So let's say for a minute that drugs were legalized and the illicit trade dried up, and then the gangs had no way to trade in this contraband. What would they do to make a living?
Everybody has to make an honest living. We'll find an honest way to make a living, but it's easier to engage in illegal activities because nobody else is filling that need.
Now, maybe if Trump brings jobs back to America, do you think that they'd actually go to work? Are they willing to go to work in factories or take jobs at the beginning of the bottom? I don't know. I don't think so, Joe.
No, we do, and we do, and I've seen the hybrid of people doing black market activities and that's the thing. At the end of the day, we look for opportunity, and it's very profitable to be in the black market, and that's the opportunity we take. We take the risks. We risk our lives, and that's what we're going to do. And at the end of the day, look, give us back honest money and give us back, like, don't have any illegal markets. And just let everybody, because drug addiction.
So, Joe, are you a former or a current gang member?
No, I'm not. No, I can't. Like, you can't continue. I'm not going to make it to 30 years old if I would have continued in that lifestyle. You know, you have to go and find. Everybody has to pay their price. You do your time. You see people die. You're going to have to find something honest to do if you're going to make it long term. But at the end of the day, I saw it was all economics. It was all about what was available. And at the end of the day, you're not going to, if you don't stamp out the black markets, you're still going to have the next generation coming in to fill that need. People want their drugs. People want their fix. Somebody's going to serve it. And in Portugal, they abolished the war on drugs. It's a health issue. People they need help. Whether you're addicted to alcohol or heroin, you need help. You need a clinic. You don't need incarceration. At the end of the day, the cartels are going to fill that need. And I see the same kids coming up, the same little knuckleheads. They grab their guns. They fill that market need. It's all economics. Likewise, with that whole wall that they're trying to build in Mexico, don't abolish the war on drugs. The cartels are hurting now because Colorado's got better weed than the cartels can produce. It's economics. You know this.
That's very funny.
We can solve
this. So in a way, what you're saying is if the people are going to want something, give it to them and don't fight it?
No, but drugs are a problem. Regardless, that's a problem. That's a human issue.
I understand what you're saying, but don't fill it through the black market is what you're saying. So you're in favor of legalizing weed and taxing it, I would assume, correct?
No, I don't even want to tax that. I would rather treat weed like cucumbers. Don't even have the government involved in weed. Leave it alone. It's medicinal. And people, heroin and all that crazy stuff, give it to the clinics. Let the clinics administer that. People really need help. Those are really messed up drugs. Pharmaceuticals are messed up drugs. At the end of the day, and you need a controlled substance to get through life, you need help. And you don't need to put people in jail, and you don't need to create black markets where criminals are going to take advantage and they're going to get paid because they're the only ones who need
to. So far, I haven't disagreed with anything you've said. Everything you say makes sense to me. You're a very smart man, Joe, because you've been down on the bottom, and you had to fight your way through that world, so you know the jungle. Am I right?
No, I appreciate it. That's why I want to see a peaceful solution, because it's going to be war. You arm the cops. You give them more weapons. They're like SWAT. They come through. It's like an occupational army coming through. We don't know these people. They don't live in our neighborhood. And they come in squatted up with more weapons than us. We're going to feel threatened. We're going to shoot back. That's why there's a war in the streets. These are not our neighbors. These are not our people. They don't treat us like human beings. And it's in a war.
Well, but how can you treat people like a human being who are selling drugs to children and killing innocent bystanders?
No, that's sad because there's no ethics, because these are children who are picking up this trade. There are no grown men in this neighborhood teaching them the right from wrong. But there's money. They get the fast money.
Well, let me ask you this, Joe. You have very strong beliefs and feelings. I don't agree with you on the police because I think that you need to do something to stop the crime. So let's ask you this. What do you think is going to happen with the whole drug thing when Trump becomes president? Put it this way. What's the word on the street about what's going to change, if anything?
The thing is, on the streets, the kids don't, they've been brainwashed by the CNNs of the world. There's no honest sizing of Trump and his administration. It's been muddied by so much propaganda. You can't even have an honest conversation. I'm not a Trump supporter, but I feel like I have to defend myself because I don't think Trump is the villain that they painted him to be. I mean, so the war is going to continue.
Well, that's actually a fair-minded viewpoint. You have more of a fair-minded viewpoint than most of the progressives at the New York Times. Joe, I'm almost out of time, but I appreciate your calling. It's a very heartfelt. Actually, if you listen to the man's voice, he was speaking from the heart, incidentally. This was not just words that were coming from a person. Joe, thank you very much. The man was almost crying out to the world in what he was saying. If you hear his voice, that's the thing about voices. If you listen to them, they sing to you if you actually hear what people are saying. Well, we're almost out of time this hour. The phone number is 855-400-7282. It's open mic to Mike Friday. We could talk about any of the topics that you think are good to talk about, and I don't want to lead you on it. I do know that the inauguration's coming up, what, in a week? Is it next Friday? Next Friday is the inauguration? Well, one thing is for sure, my umbrella won't be there, but the protesters will be there, and they plan to disrupt the Trump inauguration. Now, the good news is that the bikers for Trump are ready to stand up to the protesters. Oh, is that good news? Oh, man, if those chains start flying, we don't know what's liable to happen. A motorcycle group led by a South Carolina chainsaw artist will ride into the nation's capital on Inauguration Day in support of the 45th President of the United States. Likely be towing the line with protesters. The bikers are certainly used to being outnumbered, and we prepared to form a wall of meat, said Chris Fox. I like that, a wall of meat. That's got a nice ring to it. He added, the backbone of the biker community is the veteran. So these are guys that aren't really used to backing down. You certainly won't see bikers out there screaming, calling for destruction of private property or the death of police officers. The bikers are going to look for someone who's going to stand up and call it what it is, Cox explained. Radical Islam is one of the biggest talking points of bikers for Trump. Illegal immigration in one of our sweet spots is getting behind the American veteran. So there they are. They're going to be there. And let's hope to God that the college boys and girls who are going to go there and start screaming and yelling to block the inauguration understand that they're just liable to meet a wall of meat that they're not used to. And they should be very, very cautious indeed. In fact, I'd like to see Michael Moore, who is such a vociferous opponent of Donald Trump and such a vociferous opponent of all things American, but seems to love his comforts very much, living in a very big house with a very large staff of security. I would love to see Michael Moore get in the face of Bikers for Trump. That brings us to 47 minutes after the hour. It's the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Not much time left. The time is flying this Friday. You know, you talk about comeuppance. This is a story you're not going to believe. Not welcome. Members at D.C. Country Club take swing at Obama over Israel's stance. Members at an exclusive Washington area country club don't like Obama's stance on Israel, and they don't want him joining the Woodmont Country Club in Rockville, Maryland. Now, it's predominantly wealthy Jewish club members. They don't like what he's done to Israel. They don't like him criticizing Israeli settlements in East Jerusalem and the West Bank. They don't like attacking Israel. They don't like him attacking Netanyahu. And so they're sending out letters saying he's not welcome at Woodmont. His admittance would create a storm that could destroy our club. This is from some of the members who actually are standing on their principles, which, by the way, is very unusual. This is a very unusual thing. That club members of such an exclusive club would put their principles above, let us say, their own personal greed. So they're trying to circulate letters to make sure that the former commander-in-chief is not allowed into this country club because he's moving there until his daughter Sasha finishes high school. Now, we don't know whether Obama plans to apply for membership at Woodmont, but he has played at least four rounds at the course during his presidency. And last summer it was reported that this club would be his club of choice when he leaves the Oval Office. Now, this is not the view of all members of the club, and of course the super liberal Jewish Community Relations Council of Greater Washington is gushing over this, meaning over the fact that Obama wants to join this club, but he's not a member of the club himself. He wrote, "How cool is it that the first African-American president of the United States may well be joining a country club originally established because Jews couldn't get in anywhere else," said Ron Halber. Okay, Ron, you're not a member of the club, but you're already speaking for them. So that's what's going on. There's another one here that I got to tell you about. Drug testing floated for White House press corps. That's a beauty. I've been talking about this for 2 years, but it wouldn't be to drug test the press corps. That already is a given that they're... You're wondering whether they're on drugs? You must be joking. I would like to see Congress drug tested randomly twice a year. I would love to see random drug tests required for all members of Congress twice a year. Wouldn't you? Huh? I would. I think it'd be a great idea. I'll go for it. I would pee in a cup.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
It's the jubilee of the hippie era from 67 to 17, 50 years in the blink of an eye. Well, most of you who lived through the 60s won't be here another 50 years from now, so enjoy what you have. You're not getting any younger. That's all I can say. So now we have, finally, the opposite of Obama and the Progressive Communist Socialist Front taking power and taking charge in America. And inauguration protesters want to prevent him from taking power. They want to break up the inauguration. And then we have professors of the sickest elements of society demanding that class time be set aside to protest oppression and to challenge Trumpism. And it's supposed to kick off January 18th, and they should take up valuable class time to attack Donald Trump and his policies. They don't want fascism. They accuse Trump of institutionalizing white supremacy, proposing the expansion of state violence. But if you read carefully, you'll see who's behind it. On that day, they say, we intend to organize against the proposed expansion of state violence targeting, here we go, people of color, undocumented people, queer communities, women, Muslims, and many others. The description continues. Blah, blah, blah. You lost the election. You lost the election. You have all equal rights that we have on the other side of the aisle. No one's picking on you. You're picking on us. You're trying to block our right to our presidency. And guess what? You're not going to get away with it. That's number one. Number two, you bums in the colleges. If you do this, I'd like to see you ripped away from your tenured positions and see how long you'd last in the real world, you lazy bums, you. But it gets worse than that. Here is a soundbite of the protesters who want to stop the inauguration itself. And I'm going to tell you what I think should be done in clip number 14.
We are not in favor of a peaceful transition of power. You know, after the election, we saw this great upsurge of spontaneous anger in the streets, people protesting in cities all across the nation. And we saw Democratic great luminaries from Obama to Hillary Clinton saying, tamp this down, please stop this. The peaceful transition of power is of most importance to the core element of democracy. To me, that says they value continuity of government over who runs the government, be it a fascist or not. So to us, we need to stop the peaceful transition of power and stop this kind of fascist government.
You want to stop the fascist government? Good luck to you. Because a nightstick will tell you what the fascist government really is all about. Go ahead, put your stupid mask on and throw your stink bombs. And I hope a nightstick meets your nose. And if you get through the nightsticks, I hope that a biker hits you with a chain in the face. I am so sick and tired of these punk anarchists controlling the streets. I want the police in charge again. I want law and order in this country again. I want the bums arrested again. And I'll tell you something else. I believe that anyone who threatens to disrupt the inauguration is a domestic terrorist, and they should be arrested in advance of the inauguration. There is a huge difference between the First Amendment and the Second Amendment and the Third Amendment and the Fourth Amendment and how these people are engaging in it. Yes, you have a right to peaceful assembly, but you don't have a right to violent assembly. And you have no right to overthrow a duly elected government, my friends. So if you want to go for it, go for it. But don't expect to not spend the night in jail. And when Trump becomes president, you're not going to go in there and get a little badge and go back to your friends and celebrate at night with some drugs like you were so brave on the front lines against the fascist movement. I want to see you jailed for 90 days in a hard prison. And I'd like to see you still talk about your anarchism. They should throw you into a hard cell with hard men, and we'll see whether the hard men agree with you or not, because 90% of them would rather see the inauguration take place than you, the bums of the street, riot in the streets. That's my opinion. That's all. I got it out of my system. Good night and good luck. 855-407-2822. That's just one topic. There are many others. We're coming into the weekend, but I couldn't resist that. How can you resist? You hear these punks with the high voices. That they're going to riot, and we're against the transition of power, and we want to stop this fascist government. They are the fascists. They are the fascists, not the Trump administration. So which side should you be on? There's no question in my mind which side most Americans are on. So there's no real topic there. I just figured I'd give you the news. Let's see what else is in the headlines here. I mean, on all the sites that we all go to. Weather, you want to talk about the weather? Okay, it's warm in the east and cold in the west. Huge names now have agreed to headline during the Trump inauguration. Suddenly they all came to their senses. Today Congress moved to repeal the Obamacare Act. How do you like that? Stormy weather brings ice balls to Lake Tahoe. Lake Taboo up there in the mountains. It's a beautiful place, I haven't been there yet. Amtrak train strikes vehicle in Santa Clara, kills motorist. That's not good, being hit by a train. That's never good, you know that? Whether you're a Democrat or Republican, getting hit by a train can be very, very dangerous. There's no question about that. So here we got finally the whole world looking at the America again as leadership, as the leading nation on the earth, the beacon of light that Reagan talked about, the Tower of Light or the City of Light that Bush talked about. We are, in fact, the Statue of Liberty for the world. And unfortunately, we've been infested by political bugs for 8 straight years who have been funded by George Soros. The political lice have been funded by Soros and empowered by Obama. And we now need to clean the lice off the body politic. It's that simple. And the only way to get lice off the body is to use a very, very powerful chemical. It's the only thing that cleans lice out of children's hair. As you know, hair lice is now an epidemic in America, and you know why. It's a result of immigration, and nobody will say it, but it's greatly increased the incidence of many diseases, including the importation of lice. You know that, and I know that. Third world hygiene doesn't exist in most places. So when you let hordes of people come across the border, who unfortunately for them, they're human beings, have diseases or are infested with bugs like lice, what do you think is going to happen to the healthy population? Exactly what's happened under Obama these last 8 years. And if you want evidence of it, let me just mention one word, a single word if you're ready to turn the radio show off thinking I'm too extreme. How about Zika? What sane man in the world who's leading a nation would permit hundreds of thousands of people to come into this country, amongst whom many are infected with a disease called Zika, unless he wanted to infect the healthy population? And what nation would keep the head of the CDC who lets that happen and hides it and buries it under the rug other than a corrupted administration? Well, I hope all of this is straightened out under Donald Trump. And, of course, I write about it in Trump's War, which is a very important topic. And we're not talking about the health issues in America right now. And nor do I intend to lecture you on the subject. But I do invite you to remember that I know a little bit about the subject, that we need an absolute house cleaning in the NIH and the CDC, and for that matter, inside the FDA as well, which is in the pocket of the drug companies. We must be very, very careful of who he puts it into the FDA, because if he puts another front man for the pharmaceutical companies, all is lost. That's a big one. I know most of you don't have that on the top of your agenda, but it's a huge one for all of us out here who are on the front lines of the disaster of the drug companies drugging the population. You want to talk about a drug war? You don't have to go any further than the drug companies, who are doing more damage than drug dealers. There's more damage being done to America by the pharmaceutical companies, who are unleashing tons of OxyContin and other dangerous opioids without any care for what it does to the population, only profits. That needs to be addressed by the Trump administration. That needs to be addressed. I have written to some of the inner circle. I've gotten no answer, to be honest with you. I'm lobbying very hard to make sure that they pick the right people for these positions, and I don't know whether I'll be successful or not, but I'm trying my best to present some decent people who might just clean these places up. WABC Mike, line 4, if you're still there, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Doctor, it's great to talk to you. It's actually Mark from New York.
All right, Mark, what are you eating? A bagel?
I got to say, the show has been on fire. You are on fire. Better every day. It's astounding.
Okay, well, the old gorilla continues to rove through the jungle.
And more well you do, my friend. What I wanted to say is, boy, what a cure for low blood pressure is watching these confirmation hearings. So I'm sitting and I'm watching a little bit of work when I can, and I see the senator from California questioning the potential who will be a fourth confirmed CIA director, and a big important topic is global warming.
Oh, you're talking about that lunatic Kamala Harris?
Absolute lunatic.
She's a plant of the San Francisco political Democrat machine. She has always been a lightweight. She has no brains to speak of. She's a left-wing ideologue and a front for the global warmest, meaning she's a front for those making billions and billions of dollars in the green mafia, in my opinion.
Yes, yeah, of course.
What does that have to do with the CIA is what you're saying? How dare she ask him about that at a CIA hearing? But she also asked him about transgender, LGBT, the whole schlemiel of it. She also talked about Muslims. Will you hire Muslims in the CIA? Yeah, I will. You heard the whole thing, right? The whole left-wing agenda that I have to suffer through here in the Bay Area every day. The Dianne Feinstein, Nancy Pelosi, Jerry Brown agenda. It's ludicrous.
These people, they just don't understand. A couple of things they don't understand. There are people that want to destroy our way of life and kill us in the most brutal of ways.
Well, that's because they live in a bubble protected by people that they hate. They hate the military who protects them from the radical Islamists. They see a cop on the street as a Nazi. And yet, if they're assaulted in the street, who do they call? When someone attacks them in the street, do they dial 911 or do they call the ACLU and ask Marvin to come help them with a law degree? That's all. They call the man in blue. They don't call Marvin with the laptop. Marvin's nowhere to be found. KVOR, Colorado, Moscow, line 5. Go ahead. You're on. The Savage Nation. What's on your mind, sir?
Thank you for what you're doing. I grew up in Bulgaria in the 70s and the 80s, and if you go back and study the prime MO of socialists, communists, and anarchists alike, they like to disrupt law and order regardless. That's one of their MO.
Absolutely right. So let's not fool ourselves.
Exactly.
These people who are trying to upset the inauguration, these professors who want protest in the colleges, they are hardcore communists, and they must be rooted out of this nation in order to save it. And let me tell you something. I think it's going to happen under Trump. They're going to be hit with things they could never believe. They probably have gotten away with so much for so long. They have no idea what can be done to them and what will be done to them. I feel we're going to have law and order in this country again. It won't be overnight. It may not be within 6 months, but within 2 years, we're going to have a sane, orderly nation again, and all of these lice will no longer be biting the body politic.
Exactly. And long term, we got to do something for all the liberal colleges and all the hatred and the stupidity there.
That is a problem.
In the nation.
The deeply embedded left-wing fanatics who are running the colleges and universities are another problem. Most of these bums are protected by tenure. They cannot be fired. It may take some very, very strange acts on behalf of the federal government, like pulling funding, in order to stop them. But it's going to happen, and it may not happen even in 2 years. But my guess is within 3 to 4 years, the colleges will be a better place for the children to be. Less violent, less propagandist, and probably a safer place to learn the real issues of college rather than these social activist issues.
For any student, it's a wonderful opportunity.
No, they brainwash them. I know what they do to him, to them. Thank you, Marco. Look, a lot of people from the ex-Soviet Union know what's going on. Phone number is 855-407-2822. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com. Welcome back to the Savage Nation. The day would not be complete unless I played Crazy Man McCain, the cuckoo clock of the Republican Party, after releasing a scurrilous tape that was fake, made up by a bunch of bloggers. The crazy man who wants constant war, because he's obviously owned by defense contractors, in my estimation, there's no other answer for this. The madman says Putin wants to be our enemy. He needs us as his enemy. What he's doing is looking in the mirror and saying that we want Putin to be our enemy. We need him as an enemy. Listen to this madman in clip number 20.
Each of our last three presidents has had great expectations of building a partnership with the Russian government. Each attempt has failed, not for lack of good faith and effort on the U.S. side,
liar,
but because of a stubborn fact that we must finally recognize Putin
McCain
wants to be our enemy. He needs us as his enemy.
You are
a
madman.
He will never be our partner, including in fighting ISIL. He believes that strengthening Russia means weakening America. We must proceed realistically on this basis.
Who is writing this garbage for him? I want to know what you, the American people, think. Who is writing the script for this madman? Who would write this stuff? Who wants war with Russia? Well, analyze the money. You had a gang member call the show earlier who said that the drugs in the street are all about economic opportunity. That's why they sell drugs. You have to understand that most people who go into politics, most, not all, don't do it because they're idealists. They do it because of financial gain. Take a look at some of the senators from the San Francisco area and compare the amount that their net worth was before they were a senator and after they're a senator. So you understand that most of it's done strictly for private gain, in most cases, not at all. So you ask yourself, McCain, has he personally gained? I don't know. I think he's too stupid to have personally gained. I don't think he has the brains to personally gain. But he does it because of his donors. That's the only explanation. Or because he is stuck in a Cold War mind warp. He is stuck in a time warp of the 1950s and then again the Reagan era. He has not yet evolved
to what the Russia of today is, as opposed to what the Russia of the 1950s or even when he was fighting in Vietnam was. The man is stuck in the past as such. He is a dinosaur. He is mentally extinct. And frankly, for what he did the other day in releasing the made-up tape about Donald Trump, he should be censured by the new Congress. He should be driven out of Congress as soon as possible in order to retain the dignity that is left of the United States Senate. And I believe every word I just said, or I wouldn't have said it. Will it happen under Paul Ryan in the House? Well, he's not in the House of Representatives. Will it happen in the Senate under Mitch McConnell? No, never. Never happen in a million years. No, not old Mitch the Gobbler McConnell. He will never censure his good friend John McCain. Because the liberal Republican wing still rules the roost. And that is Trump's war. And I'm Michael Savage.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
All of you people who've evolved from being hippies in the 60s, who slowly emerged into the political animals that you are today, you could call yourself conservatives, nationalists, but the fact of the matter is people do not understand the social evolution of the current modern conservative. Forget, there's many varieties conservative. What does it mean? What does the word liberal mean? There's a whole spectrum of liberal, a whole spectrum of conservative. But you know what I'm talking about. Many of the people who love my show identify with me because of my background and my foreground and my current ground and my post-ground. And the fact is, it's 50 years. Can you believe you've been alive that long, those of you listening to the show? Many of you understand where I'm coming from. You were Beatles fans. You went to Woodstock. You smoked pot. You tried acid. You did everything under the sun. And eventually, you put it all aside like child's toys. And you outgrew that era, as you would outgrow a childhood illness, and you became a human being of a different sort. Unfortunately for us, many people got stuck in the worst part of the 60s. Now, I didn't mean to talk about this today, but I'm going to talk about it because there's a lot of interconnections to the politics of the day. So just bear with me for a minute. For example, the mores of the 60s, were they all bad? No. I will tell you, had I not lived through the hippie life, the moderate sort of hippie life, I never became full-blown. I didn't move to a commune. I always worked. I always had a job. I always paid the rent. I always bathed, because I remember the adage, cleanliness is the next thing to godliness. That was always true. And the hippies who didn't bathe, well, forget about it. They were really the mentally ill ones. You know, that's still true to this day. Hygiene is probably the first thing to go in a mentally ill person. All right, but put that aside. So what did the 60s bring to America? Everyone puts it down or puts it up. In other words, you put it up if you're in Hollywood like it was the golden era of America. Or if you're a conservative, you put down the 60s and say it was horrible. Everyone's a degenerate, you know, drug addict. But what the 60s meant for me was the ability to go on the road in my own mind, for example, and to explore inner space. Something I never would have done had I, let's say, stayed on the pathway of my, let's say, it was laid out for me and my family. And I'm not knocking them. They're great people. They're all wonderful people. But most of them stayed where the grandfather landed. He came from Russia. He landed in New York, and almost none of them moved away from New York. To this day, they still live there. You know what I'm saying? And they have the same mentality of that era. I was always very different, even as a child. So naturally, I gravitated to a different way of life. And as a result of it, I read things that they never heard of. And one of the key books that changed my life was Jack Kerouac's great book, On the Road. And then, of course, Dharma Bums brought me to Marin County. You got to understand where I'm coming from on that one. The idea that someone could live in a place where deer come down and feed on their back lawn. Of course, that goes on in New Jersey. It goes on in Long Island. But, I mean, I never saw it when I was a kid in Manhattan or Queens. I never saw a deer. Okay? All right. But the point is I went on the road. And as a result of going on the road, I wound up in very odd places on Earth, collecting plants. What boy of my background eschews making a fortune and goes and lives in Fiji, Tonga, Samoa, the Marquesas, collecting medicinal plants? What kind of a sugar does a thing like that? People would ask me that over and over again. What are you doing? Why are you wasting your time? You have a family. What do you mean collecting plants? Why aren't you making a living? blah, blah, blah. So I got that. I understood it. But it's not my calling. That was my calling at that time. So then, as life goes on, you start to learn from Life 101 what life really is. And you play it straight. You keep your nose clean. You go and you get your degrees from real universities. You do a great dissertation, really great dissertation, really published in a real journal, really published in a great journal, turned into a book, and you figure, okay, the world will be mine. I did it the right way. And then you find out that the world changed under your feet. You find out that the radical left has taken over all the social apparatus of the nation, and they were denying white males their right place in society, edging them out wherever they could. And then you become hardened, and you become a different person. And you become a person that's more realistic about life, and you realize that it's more of a jungle than it is a nursery school. And that leads us to where we are today in the election of Trump. I think the headline today that caught me most off guard was, Obama fires head of D.C. National Guard fundamentally to strip Trump of protection from leftist mobs. I looked at the story on the Drudge Report. It's in the Washington Post, and something made no sense to me. The head of the D.C. National Guard, Major General Errol R. Schwartz, said Friday that he has been ordered removed from his command effective January 20th, 12:01 p.m., just as Donald Trump is sworn in as president. I said, wait a minute, this is crazy. This guy is in charge of all the security in the area, in the inauguration. He's been planning alongside D.C. police, the U.S. Secret Service, and other district officials. And he's been ordered to turn over command to an interim as power transfers from one president to the next just before the inaugural parade. And Major General Schwartz, who is an African-American, by the way, a distinguished gentleman, by the way, said the timing is extremely unusual, he said this morning. The memo came to him out of nowhere. Not only would Schwartz have commanded the members of the D.C. Guard, but also an additional 5,000 unarmed troops sent in from across the nation to help. He would also oversee military air support protecting the nation's capital during the inauguration. Why would Obama have done this? Why would they have him gone just before the vermin of the left and the armies of the night descend upon Washington, D.C. to disrupt the inauguration? Is it Obama's doing? There's a mixed answer coming to us. I've tried to research this because no one has an answer to it. No one can answer it. Because right now, on Inauguration Day, it's going to be very complicated for the D.C. National Guard to be called up. Since the district is not a state, its mayor cannot call up the guard to active duty as a state governor can. The district would have to send a letter to the Secretary of the Army requesting the support. The district and the army would then have to go through a seven-step process to initiate the deployment. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? What do you think this is about, as I'm asking? I don't think you have an answer to this. This man, Lieutenant General Schwartz, has a distinguished career since 1976. By the way, he also oversees the Air National Guard, which combined with the Army Guard has an authorized strength of 2,700 men. He's commanded the 372nd Military Police Battalion. He's a brilliant man. He graduated in 1980 from the University of District of Columbia with a degree in electrical engineering, not a degree in ethnic studies, not a degree in women's studies, not a degree in cross-gender studies, but an actual degree in electrical engineering. Then he earned a master's degree in business management from Central Michigan and the national security strategy from the National Defense University at Fort McNair, Washington. He's an amazing man. Who fired him? No one has an answer. The story is, Obama fires head of D.C. National Guard to strip Trump of protection from leftist mobs. That's what it looks like to me. Now, we have had producers contact the Trump transition team to see if they gave the order because they want to put their own person in. No answer. The Obama administration will not answer the question. Okay, my friends. We don't know whether this is more of the dirty tricks that Obama is famous for or if it's an actual normal transitional transaction. We just don't know. Also today on the Savage Nation, the confirmation hearings on Mr. Pompeo and Mr. Mattis, General Mattis, were filled with the Democrats espousing their filthy left-wing agenda all over again. You know, if you're not sure whether you should have voted for Trump, let's put it to you this way. You're just not going to be hearing any of this anymore for the next 4 to 8 years. If Hillary had won, all you would have heard was the same stuff over and over again. And that's why she lost. She lost because of her focus on the issues that most Americans do not care about gay marriage. They don't care about LGBT issues. They don't care about the global warming hoax. And they don't care whether Muslims are being treated fairly inside the American government. They care about other things, bread and butter issues, national security, build the wall, taxes are too high. They want Muslims deported who have come here to commit crimes. They don't want more of them flooded into this country. So now you understand why she lost. In fact, when they were reanalyzing at the end of the election why Hillary lost, the smartest amongst the Democrats said, oh, they didn't address middle America. They didn't address the average American. They didn't talk to the people in the hinterland. What do you think they're actually saying? They were focused on the narrowest band of individuals in the country. Muslims, crackpot scientists who are in the government's pocket, and those radicals in the LGBT community who can't get over the fact that they're more than equal citizens, and they just won't let it go. So here was Kamala Harris, again, beating the dead horse of Muslims now in the CIA in clip 13.
And I'm also concerned about rhetoric related to Muslims from high-profile members of the incoming administration, in particular Lieutenant General Michael Flynn, with whom I imagine you'll be working closely. I don't want that to impact recruitment or retention of the patriotic and critically important Muslim men and women of the CIA, some, of course, who have taken great risks to serve our country. Can you commit to me that you will be a tireless advocate for all members of the CIA, all of the workforce?
Yes, ma'am.
That's crazy. What did you expect them to say, no, ma'am? So she's reading a script that was given to her by the forces that destroyed Hillary Clinton's campaign, the Muslim pressure groups like CARE, no doubt, etc. So you ought to thank your lucky stars that she didn't win. DOJ watchdog to investigate FBI's handling of Hillary email probe. I want you to think of how ludicrous this is. They lost the election. It's over. And yet again, he's throwing another stink bomb. The snake, in addition to sending in 2,500 tanks to Poland to provoke Putin, is now trying to destroy Comey before he leaves. Every which way you turn, the madman in the White House is trying to destroy everything around him before Trump becomes president. What can you say about it? Obama's dog bit a White House guest's face. I think that says it all. What is this, something in the air in the White House? Is there cleaning out the furniture? Was mold released? Sonny Obama bit a White House guest's face. A friend who was visiting the Obamas was bitten in the face by the first family's dog, Sonny, leaving the woman to get stitched up, TMZ reported. Sonny, a female Portuguese water dog, chomped on the unidentified 18-year-old as she went to pet and kiss the adorable 4-year-old pooch on Monday. The young woman was left bloodied on her right cheek and had to get stitches. Blah, blah, blah. Sonny is one of two dogs the Obamas own. The other Portuguese water dog, Bo, an 8-year-old male, enjoys the title of first dog. Well, that's interesting. I don't want to talk about dogs right now, but you're not supposed to kiss strange dogs on the face unless you're a moron. And teach your children not to come up to dogs and put their face near a dog because they're liable to get bitten. You understand that? Dogs may look cute, but they are dogs. They have wolf in them. So never let your child come up to a strange dog. When I'm walking Teddy in the mall, and a person has a beautiful little child, and they say, can I pet him? You know what I say? No. I said, and if you do pet him, let me show you how you pet a dog. I show them to put the hand down and let the dog sniff the back of their hand first. That's the first rule to avoid a brutal attack on your child's hand or face. Don't call me on it. Nothing to say.
I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
It's always freaky for me on Friday. It's Freaky Friday because the show flies by.
And then it's this black hole of Saturday and Sunday and until I'm back on the air Monday. It was the reverse of most people. They look forward to the weekend. I don't. To me, it's a horror show of emptiness. It's the void. When I'm on the air, I have a palette. I have the paint. I have the brushes. And I'm painting, verbally painting for hours. Then all of a sudden, it's zero. All right. Protesters vow to blockade D.C. during the inauguration and party in front of the Pence home. Really? Do they? Well, here's a good piece of news for them. Bikers for Trump ready to stand up to protesters. I hope they... I can't say it on a family show. My only hope is that the bikers are unleashed on them and put them in the place where they belong, which is in a cage. In fact, I think that there'd be a good argument to move the animals from the Washington, D.C. zoo ahead of the inauguration and move them to some humane protective custody during inauguration and put the protesters in the cages. And the number one who should put in the number one cage would be Michael Moore. Michael Moore should be arrested, by the way, right now for threatening to obstruct the inauguration. He's a domestic terrorist, in my estimation. By saying he's going to shut down the inauguration, he's telling us he has more power than we do. He has more power than the Constitution affords the president himself. He, in other words, is announcing the fact that he is a domestic terrorist. And I want to know why he's not being arrested. The answer is because Obama and he are one and the same. But truthfully, anyone who says they're going to shut down the inauguration is announcing that they're a criminal and they should be arrested in advance. That is not protest. That is not legitimate protest. That is not exercising the First Amendment. That is not exercising anything other than terror. That's using the First Amendment as a weapon against this great society of ours. And I really would like to see them arrested, frankly. I do know that the inauguration's coming up, what, in a week? Is it next Friday? Next Friday is the inauguration? Well, one thing is for sure, my umbrella won't be there. But the protesters will be there. And they plan to disrupt the Trump inauguration. Now, the good news is that the bikers for Trump are ready to stand up to the protesters. Oh, is that good news? Oh, man, if those chains start flying, we don't know what's liable to happen. A motorcycle group led by a South Carolina chainsaw artist will ride into the nation's capital on Inauguration Day in support of the 45th President of the United States. Likely be towing the line with protesters. The bikers are certainly used to being outnumbered, and we're prepared to form a wall of meat, said Chris Fox. I like that, a wall of meat. That's got a nice ring to it. He added, the backbone of the biker community is the veteran. So these are guys that aren't really used to backing down. You certainly won't see bikers out there screaming, calling for destruction of private property or the death of police officers. The bikers are going to look for someone who's going to stand up and call it what it is, Cox explained. Radical Islam is one of the biggest talking points of bikers for Trump. Illegal immigration, one of our sweet spots, is getting behind the American veteran. Anyway, so there they are. They're going to be there. And let's hope to God that the college boys and girls understand that they're just liable to meet a wall of meat that they're not used to.
Savage.